American whiskey history is filled with characters, most of which were men. New research has revealed one very important person who was a woman. And until now, her story has never been fully told. So if you want to hear about it, then stick around. Before we get started, I have to thank all the patrons. Without you guys, this content would not be possible. Everyone's names who are on the screen right now are contributing at our top three levels. And if you want to hear more about how you can support this channel and its content, stick around until the end. Now, the backstory is a few years ago, I interviewed an individual called Kaveh Zamanian. I don't know if it's Zamanian or Zamanian. I feel like he gave me a different pronunciation, but everyone says Zamanian. And his backstory was he was an Iranian immigrant and he became a clinical psychologist, but he fell in love with a woman from Kentucky and fell in love with Kentucky bourbon. So he became a collector of pre-prohibition whiskey and he ultimately became the founder of Rabbit Hole Distillery. But due to his love of history, he decided that he wanted to write a book about a woman named Mary Dowling. So I'm sure that during his research and whatnot for his pre-prohibition whiskey fascination, he definitely would have come across Mary Dowling's story. And given there has never really been a full detailed account of, you know, what her contribution was in the bourbon world, I think it just piqued his curiosity and he decided that he was going to write a book. So I was asked by his publicist whether or not I wanted to interview Kaveh about his new book. And it just so happened that I was going to Kentucky to do some barrel picks. And I mentioned to the publicist the dates that I was going to be there. And she said, oh, that's interesting because the book launch party is actually going to be while you're here in town. She gave me the date and it happened to be a night that was one of the only nights that I didn't have really firm plans. And so it just fell into place that I was able to go to this launch party, which turned out to kind of be a funny experience. A lot of people don't know this about me, but I do have a weird social anxiety. So I don't have any problem being in front of a camera. I don't have any problem being in front of a crowd, but I do have a problem being in a crowd and I do not like that at all. And there was 150 people at this launch party. Luckily, there was an individual that I knew who was a viewer from Houston and we were able to hang out together and that made me a little bit more comfortable. But I was waiting to see Kaveh's presentation and they had taken me to a private room upstairs at the Fraser History Museum. There's a speakeasy up there and that's where all of my equipment was because I was supposed to record a podcast with him. And then I went downstairs to actually watch the presentation. And during the presentation, Kaveh kind of laid out the, you know, abridged version of the book, right? So Mary Dowling was born Mary Murphy to the Murphy family. And she married John Dowling when she was just 15 years old. And John was 31. But this was in the 1800s, so things were a little bit different back then. Her parents were immigrants that had come over from Ireland during the potato famine. And they owned like a dry goods store. And John Dowling had known Mary's father. And once John and his brother had become successful enough that they bought the cooperage that they had previously been doing business with, he went and engaged with Mary's father. And eventually Mary's father agreed that they should get married. And he ended up building kind of a bourbon empire during his day. He owned multiple cooperages and I think he owned two cooperages and three different distilleries before all was said and done. But at various times he had different amounts of ownership interests and different business partners. But what was different about his relationship with Mary was apparently she played a larger role in the family business than would have been usual for a woman of that period. So she did work for her father's dry goods store and I believe that she helped keep track of the books. And so when she moved into her relationship with John, she seemed to continue to play more of an active role in the business than, you know, most of the women at that time, especially in the area that she lived in. There was a handful of very successful families, and it was unlikely that the other women that were her contemporaries were participating in the business at that level. But unfortunately, John died in 1903, and as was unusual for the time, he decided to leave the distilleries and the cooperage to Mary in his will. And so all of a sudden, you have this woman in her 40s that has, I believe, 8 living children at the time. And she was facing some pretty major opposition as a female business owner. You find out that they had strategically worked to have one of their daughters marry one of the sons of the banking family for that area of Kentucky. And they had a wholesaler that had been selling their whiskey for them for a number of years. And after the ownership of the business passed into her hands, the bank set her down and said, sorry, but we no longer want to do business with you because we don't want to do business with a business that is being run by a woman. And her wholesaler fired her as well. But she overcame the odds. She was able to find new business partnerships in both the wholesaling space and in the banking space. And she continued to operate the businesses and even grow the businesses up until Prohibition. But at the start of Prohibition, running after Prohibition got passed, but before it actually got implemented, she was able to sell some of their barrel inventory. So according to records, she had around 22,000 barrels of whiskey, and she sold all but 1,600 of them. But because she didn't know how long Prohibition was going to last, and she didn't want them to overage, and she wasn't going to be able to bottle them after Prohibition started, she went ahead and bottled all of that whiskey. She had a 10,000 square foot mansion with a giant basement, and she stored all of that whiskey in bottles in their basement, which, from what I understand, was legal. You were able to kind of hoard and build up a stash of alcohol before, from the point that Prohibition was announced, but before it started. And so my understanding is that she had not broken the law at that time.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm testing my new whiskey glass that I had designed.
Why?
Well, there's a company out there that's a real Karen. And she threatened to sue us.
Really? You don't say.
Yeah, so we had been producing some traditional tulip-shaped whiskey glasses.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
We never used the name.
Right, of course.
But they claimed to own the shape of the glass.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm just a little guy, I couldn't fight.
Right.
But do you know what that motivated us to do, Wes?
What?
To go out and design a glass that was actually made for high-proof American spirits. So the company that had the problem with us, their glass was originally designed for low-proof Scotch whiskey.
Oh, okay.
80, yeah. 86 proof, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And you know what I had noticed? Every time I would nose a really high-proof, high-quality spirit in the United States out of this glass, all I got was ethanol burn.
Yeah, a little burn there. I felt that.
And so we went out and we designed this glass that's actually designed for those higher-proof spirits. And I'm so confident in this glass that if anybody were to go to our website and buy one, I'm offering a money-back guarantee.
Wow.
If you get that glass to your house and you find yourself one of these traditional tulip-shaped glasses and you nose a high-proof spirit side by side and you can't tell the difference, I will gladly give you your money back.
So what you're saying is they can really stick it to the Karen and support the little guy by going to bourbonrealtalk.com and ordering one of these with absolutely no risk. They could get their money back if they don't prefer it nosing it to the other?
Absolutely. Okay. And if you love small business and you like sticking it to Karens, that's the way to go.
Stick it to Karen. BourbonRealTalk.com.
Cheers. Some reports say that her family was bootlegging that whiskey, okay? And some reports say that they weren't really bootleggers, that one of her sons did a favor for a friend and sold him 2 cases, about 24 bottles of whiskey, out of a stash of whiskey that in modern times would be worth about $900,000, right? So 2 cases is such a minuscule amount. And you're talking about a family that at the very least was worth hundreds of millions of dollars in modern day money, right? So two cases of whiskey wasn't going to make any difference to them. But according to the book, it was only about two cases. And there was a different environment back then. One of the interesting things that I learned about this stage of American history was there was a lot of anti-Catholic sentiment. In fact, I've learned that originally in the 13 colonies, nine of those colonies required that you be a professed Protestant for you to even have government office. Like, you couldn't even be a government official unless you said that you were a Protestant, which excluded all Catholics. And according to the book, Catholics at this time were looked upon by society the same way that freed slaves were. And so there was a lot of anti-Catholic sentiment at the time. And the people who were pushing for prohibition were Protestants. And there was a lot of Protestant fervor against alcohol. And there was the general anti-woman sentiment that was, you know, popular at the time. And so according to the book, it wasn't just that the government was pursuing her family for bootlegging, which they obviously didn't.
A lot of products say they're clean, but what does that mean? Ritual has high standards for what clean means, like their essential prenatal multivitamin, which is heavy metal tested, clean label project certified, and GMO free. It features key mom-to-baby nutrients like folate, choline, and omega-3. Clean isn't clean enough, especially during pregnancy. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Need to do. It was actually anti-woman, anti-Catholic, Protestant fervor that was causing them to pursue them for such a small number of bottles as if they were major bootleggers. But whether or not they were actually bootlegging family is irrelevant in the story, because in either case, she decided to take advantage of the situation. And so in the end, she was fined, I think, $10,000 per family member, which at that time was an astronomical amount of money, and two of her sons were sentenced to 1 year and a day in jail. And it was right around that time frame that she reached out to one of her contacts that she had made when she was liquidating those barrels. And there was an individual that was kind of operating as a wholesaler in Mexico, where prohibition didn't exist, who was buying barrels from her to bring them over the Mexican border, where he could bottle them legally there and then bootleg them back into the United States. And so she became friends with this individual, along with some of her other business partners, and she literally disassembled her Kentucky distillery and relocated it to Juarez, Mexico, where she made a product that was labeled as bourbon during Prohibition. So this is a way for her to make bootlegger money legally without facing potential prosecution, because she could make the whiskey legally in Juarez, Mexico. Everything was properly licensed. She was paying any applicable taxes and all of that stuff. But then she would sell the whiskey to through some legal channels to locals, to other individuals in Mexico who had become interested in U.S. bourbon at this point. But there were a lot of actors that were buying the whiskey from the distillery legally in Mexico, whose intention was to bring it across the border and to sell it into the United States. And so, this is kind of what makes her story remarkable, that she was under so much oppression. She was doing it on her own. She had the world on her shoulders with all of these kids that she's trying to raise on her own without her husband. And she was placed in a position of authority, and the government was coming after her. And she found a way to work her way around all of that and to take advantage of the situation to continue to make sure that her family was wealthy and prosperous during a time that all of the odds were stacked against her. So I've heard some people complain about this book because she's referred to as the mother of bourbon on the cover of the book. And some people are like, dude, she's not the mother of bourbon. She wasn't a distiller. She wasn't even the first woman to inherit a distillery when her husband died. And that's true. But to my knowledge, I believe that she was the first woman to run it so successfully, and certainly the only woman to make the epic move of moving the distillery out of the country whenever Prohibition hit. And so it doesn't really matter how you slice it. This woman was a remarkable woman. So if you're interested in the book, it looks like this. It's The Mother of Bourbon, written by Kaveh Zamanian. And he also worked with an accomplished artist, Eric Goodman, to complete this book. The tagline for this video is actually the tagline for the book, The Greatest Whiskey Story Never Told. So hopefully that got you to click on this. Now, the book is actually fiction. So the story that Kaveh told when we were at the launch party was that there wasn't enough records to do an actual documentary-style book. They were able to piece things together. They were able to communicate with the family members that were surviving to get, you know, kind of family lore and history and have a really good idea of who she was as a person. But there wasn't enough there to do a full documentary style book. So Kaveh worked with Eric to kind of fill in some historical fiction type elements to the book to make it slightly more entertaining. So please keep in mind that when you get this, you're going to be reading dialogue between Mary and John Dowling. And all of that stuff is all made up by Kaveh, but he was very adamant that he didn't feel like they put anything in there that was out of turn based on the information they were able to gather. So keep that in mind. But it also makes the book a little easier to read because it's slightly more entertaining. Now, I had actually heard of this distillery that was Juarez, Mexico, because I was researching the 1964 resolution that made bourbon an official American product. And along the way, as I was researching that, I came across this bit of history where there was a bourbon distillery, or more than one bourbon distillery, in Juarez, Mexico, that there were some heirs that were actually in the United States, and they were very powerful. And in New York, these heiresses were, you know, putting pressure on the Congress member that they were friends with to fight against this resolution to call bourbon an official American product because it was going to disrupt their cash flow. So I had heard about this, but I did not know that that distillery had been moved there by a woman until I went to this book release. Now, along with the release of this book is a new brand of whiskey that Kaveh has created. And it's actually a Mary Dowling's name, but it's actually Rabbit Hole Distillate that's being bottled. And there are actually three different SKUs that they're releasing. The first is a weeded bourbon that is $60 and 91 proof. And then Kaveh explained that the next one they did as a tequila finished bourbon to kind of pay homage to the transfer of the distillery from Kentucky to Mexico. And that is a $75 bottle that is 93 proof. And then their top of the line kind of premium version is a double oaked bourbon that is $130 at barrel proof. Now, I was able to try all of these whiskeys at the book release, but I will tell you that I do not like the prices. When you look at the price of the whiskey versus its proof, it's not really in alignment with what I would consider to be a good value. But if you are a lover of bourbon history, you should definitely purchase this book and check it out. And if you don't mind the prices, you might want to buy the whiskey and check those out too. You can find the book and the whiskey at the website marydowling.com. That's MarydowLing.com. So I thought it'd be fun to do a free giveaway, but unfortunately, they did not give me bottles of the Mary Dowling whiskey, and I wouldn't buy the three of them because it'd be an expensive proposition. And I'm trying to mind my budget these days, like many of us. So what I thought I would do is give away some Rabbit Hole whiskey. I also am in possession of three different custom etched Mary Dowling Glencairn glasses. So we're going to have three winners, and each winner is going to get a Mary Dowling custom etched glass. And you are also going to get a 2 ounce sample of the Rabbit Hole limited edition that I have, which is Folly's Run, Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey finished in cognac casks. So if you'd like to enter to win that, like this video, subscribe to the channel, ring the bell to be notified of future notifications, because not only do we have good content, but we do a free giveaway in each video. And last but not least, you have to go to YouTube. Below the player head, there is a video description. There's a button to click to expand. And there's a web form in there that says free giveaway. You plug your information in there. We run a randomizer, post the results publicly for accountability. Reach out to the winners, get your address, and ship you your samples absolutely for free. If you like this content and you would like to support the channel, there are three different ways. We have a Patreon. We also sell merchandise. It's made by whiskey people for whiskey people. And last but not least, I pay my personal bills as a real estate agent operating in the Dallas and the Houston metro area. So if you need real estate service in either of those areas, you will be able to find links for all three ways to support this channel in the video description below. And if this is your first time tuning into the channel, I'd like to thank you for the view, but also tell you that we're about a little bit more than just telling you about whiskey and its history. We're mostly about community and connection. And that's because I lost a loved one to suicide. And I saw how whiskey was bringing people together. And I thought, maybe if I get you connected to whiskey, whiskey will do the rest of the job and get you connected to others. So I started this channel. But ultimately, as I looked at opportunities for people to connect with one another, I saw that there were a lot of forums that had negativity in them. They were basically dominated by these people we call whiskey trolls that show hate to strangers online. So we ended up starting our own whiskey forum called Bourbon Real Talk Community. It's free. It's on Facebook. You can go join right now. And it is one of the world's largest American whiskey-focused platforms. And we do a lot of good things in there. There's a lot of community, a lot of connection. We were able to parlay that into starting a suicide prevention and intervention nonprofit called livestateproject.org. And that's all administered inside the whiskey world. But we also came to the conclusion, based on seeing that negativity online, that if those individuals can be hateful to a stranger online, there's nothing that keeps us from loving a stranger online. And that's why we end every episode the same way, and that's this. If you woke up this morning, you're unsure whether or not anyone loved you, just know that I love you. And I'll see you next time on Bourbon Real Talk.
A lot of products say they're clean, but what does that mean? Ritual has high standards for what clean means, like their essential prenatal multivitamin, which is heavy metal tested, clean label project certified, and GMO free. It features key mom to baby nutrients like folate, choline, and omega-3. Clean isn't clean enough, especially during pregnancy. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.